This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Experts agree that early exposure to quality schooling is key to a child's brain development and the ability to learn important skills like reading. Early childhood education can begin as early as birth until the age of 8, according to the National Association for the Education of Young Children. Most commonly, early childhood education typically refers to schooling for the kids between the ages of 3 and 5 in preschool or kindergarten programs, which are not required by law and can vary in curriculum. So what percentage of San Antonio area youth are enrolled in these important programs, early childhood education? What kind of resources are out there for local families? What kind of support are they offered? How can San Antonio provide quality education for more young children, which we know will provide results in the long term for San Antonio? We want to hear from you. How are you trying to deal with this in your own family? Give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can tweet at us at @tprsource. Our guests this afternoon, we're joined by Ginger Walker. She's the data director for the P16 Plus Council for Greater Bear County. Sarah Beret is with us. She's the CEO of Pre-K for SA. Henry Munoz is the senior vice president for research and evaluation for the United Way, which runs the Ready Kid SA Coalition. Welcome to The Source, all of you. It's great to have you here. And so, Ginger Walker, let's go with you. Let's talk about what's happening with the data that we have on children in San Antonio who are they not getting quality early childhood education?
So I'm Ginger Walker. I'm the data director with P16 Plus, and at P16 Plus, our big vision is that all youth are future ready, but we can't start there at post-secondary attainment. We really need to go back to a cradle-to-career approach, and when we look at the data for early childhood, there's so much known out there about the predictive nature of early childhood education for the rest of the cradle-to-career pipeline and students' ability to be successful throughout. So early on, we look at things like kindergarten readiness through partnership with United Way and looking at the early development instrument, one of the most consistent measures of kindergarten readiness. And we also look at third grade reading. And what we're seeing in early childhood data, in the early development instrument, we're seeing more students are on track, are very ready for kindergarten, slightly more than when we first started using this measure. But we're also seeing slightly more students who are vulnerable, especially in that emotional maturity domain. In third grade reading, we're actually seeing an incline since we started tracking this in 2011, 11-12 school year. And so that third grade reading is so important for predicting outcomes for the rest of the student's educational success. There's been studies that show a student who can read by third grade or who can't read by third grade is 4 times more likely to drop out of high school. So it's really important that we focus on these early indicators.
And Henry Munoz, and it's Henry with an I, we're at Ready Kid SA Coalition. What do we know about who's able to get resources in San Antonio?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me again, Henry Munoz from the United Way here in San Antonio. Individuals who can get resources are individuals who know about those resources. So there's a lot of different resources available here in San Antonio. We're actually a very rich city when it comes to formal childcare and additional options for families. You'll hear from Pre-K for SA. We also have universal or pre-K for 3 and 4-year-olds, mostly for 4-year-olds at different school districts. And so those are options. And there's a lot of options for families. But I will say that, number one, it can be expensive if you want to go formal child care. I'm also a parent and of a 4-year-old, soon to be a 5-year-old, and child care can be very, very expensive. So at the United Way, we have a variety of partnerships, including an opportunity for individuals to apply for a scholarship called the Child Care Scholarship Fund. This scholarship is funded through contributions from our Women United group, and these contributions are essentially to provide scholarships for individuals who are seeking education either to achieve a bachelor's and or an associate's or an industry trade certification program. And so it's a great subsidy. It doesn't cover the entire cost of the child care, but it is an option for some families. And there are other opportunities too. Of course, I think you might hear from both Ginger and Sarah about that, you know, we have a lot of children here in San Antonio. So although we're rich in resources, there's still a gap.
Absolutely. So one of our solutions that we have in San Antonio is pre-K for SA. San Antonio voters approved that, and Sarah Bure is the CEO of Pre-K for SA. And how are things going? How many children do y'all serve?
Well, we serve 2,000 children at our four education centers, but we also support an additional 2,000 to 3,000 students in other programs, such as the school district's pre-K programs and private providers and parochial schools as well, through our $4.2 million annual grant program. So we're impacting about 5,000 students a year, and that's helping to put a dent in the kids, the 6,000 children in San Antonio that don't have access to high-quality full-day pre-K.
Yeah, so the issue is pre-K for SA serves 5,000 overall, mm-hmm. as you described, but we have so many more children out there, and we're wondering, you know, putting a dent in a program, is that really what we need to be doing, or do we need to find a bigger solutions that do more than put dents in programs that's been problems that they solve problems?
Absolutely. And Pre-K for SA is solving the problem of, one, making sure that we have high quality pre-K, because just putting children in pre-K, if it isn't high quality, isn't going to change much. So Pre-K for SA at our centers, we're the gold standard. And the idea behind putting our centers out there was to create super high quality pre-K programs and show the power of that. And we are showing the power of that. We have an external evaluation every year, and it shows that our children come into us below the national norm, and they leave us well above the national norm, which is why you're starting to see the numbers on kindergarten readiness tick up. But also, we are supporting the school districts in moving from half day to full day and extended day programs, as well as improving the quality across the city. So while we have more work to do, we actually are making tremendous progress in the effort to be able to serve all 25,000 four-year-olds.
How unique is the program Pre-K for SA in Texas, at least?
Well, we're the only one in Texas doing this, but even in the nation, we're unique. There are a number of cities that are supporting Pre-K programs, but what makes Pre-K for SA unique is that we're not just opening up seats for high-quality Pre-K, we're also providing professional learning. So we provide professional learning for Pre-K through third grade teachers across the city to make sure that not only are our kids getting great Pre-K school, but also that once they go into kindergarten through third grade, their education continues, as well as the grants, which I mentioned, which are really pushing the quality indicators. And then we also have parent engagement, which is helping families to understand what their role is in high quality education, not just in pre-K, but all the way up through to graduating from high school and going to college, because we're really a workforce development initiative. We want to, in one generation, make sure that San Antonio has the world-class workforce it needs to make us a world-class city.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. I think the big question that every parent has in San Antonio is, why can't my kid get the same quality of resource of treatment that we get at Pre-K for SA across the board? And that's a moonshot type of a problem for San Antonio. We've got to talk about whether or not we can do that, what resources are available, and can we? What other government agencies are willing to lift that load? 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When you look at many of the ills that plague San Antonio, education is always seen as the solution. And we can deal with our dropout rate and our lack of higher education attainment. And we can deal with the fact that we have a lot of people who don't have skills that are marketable. And say, if we can get them to perform better in schools, then maybe they would be able to graduate on time and with the skills that could give them a higher earning. But then they get to school the first day and they're not ready. And that's a problem. And it hurts them for their entire entire academic career. So we say, well, let's start earlier and start with higher quality education. And we're doing that in some ways with pre-K for SA, but is it enough? Is it reaching enough children? What more can we do? I want you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, like we have here. And this is Sabrina. And Sabrina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I actually just wanted to touch on another option that I currently am in right now. My son goes to Lamar Elementary School. I believe it's now a charter school. It's not pre-K for SA. However, they do offer pre-K full-time, which has proven to be just really beneficial to my family specifically. I'm a single mother. I have three children. And I work full-time, go to grad school full-time, and they do all-day school. And it's just been such a great experience because not only is my son receiving just really quality education at Lamar, but they've also been able to help me figure out that he's having some speech issues, which I think is really, really important to, you know, find or to, you know, seek and understand immediately, like right in pre-K, then rather than, you know, have find out like later on in third grade or, you know, fourth grade when it's just kind of like an uphill battle from there. So I think that that's been.
And Sabrina, really, so is that tuition free for you?
It is. Yes, it is. It's completely tuition free. And he started when he was three. So it was pre-K three. They do pre-K four. And that's what he's in right now.
All right, Sabrina, thank you for the call. So Sarah Bure, at CEO of Pre-K for SA, are you a charter school technically, what you're doing?
We are not. We are a municipal corporation that's supported through a 1/8-cent sales tax, but we actually work in partnership with our districts. So the children that are enrolled in Pre-K for SA, most of them are actually enrolled with their local school district, and they're served at Pre-K for SA. So we work in partnership with them. We also have about 20% of our slots reserved for families that don't qualify for state Pre-K, but they can pay on a sliding scale tuition. And this is really aimed at those families that fall just outside of the eligibility, but don't make enough money to afford high-quality private pre-K. And so we're really serving everybody in San Antonio is eligible to apply, and we're working with our school districts to make sure that all of their pre-K programs are high-quality as well, just like our caller said.
So what I'm hearing is that there's a patchwork system that we have here in San Antonio, and there's different types of programs for people with different types of needs. And maybe a lot of people out there don't understand what opportunities are available to them before they reach out to an unlicensed daycare that's down the corner, or maybe that they have someone in the family who will take care of the kids for a while. And so Ginger Walker at the P16 Plus Council of Greater Bear County, what is this? Tell me more about this. Do we have a patchwork system? Is that the situation?
Well, from the data perspective, we're keeping an eye on several different things in partnership with the United Way through the Ready Kid SA Coalition. They keep a scorecard on different types of this patchwork system and how the students are being served. They want to look at the percent of licensed child care capacity with an accreditation, because those accreditations mean something in terms of the quality for youth. And they're also looking at the percent of 3- and 4-year-olds who are in public and private pre-K and early childhood education.
All right. And so Henry Munoz at Ready Kid SA Coalition with the United Way, tell me about your role and what you're trying to do here.
Well, I would like to add to something that Ginger said, and then a word that you use with regards to patchwork. I would qualify our work more as diversifying portfolios. And so certainly there's pre-K for SA, there's high quality childcare centers, there are schools. Lamar Elementary, which your caller Sabrina just shared, is in San Antonio ISD. There's really great models throughout the city that offer early child care or childhood experiences, and in some cases, some that are actually really innovative, like at Lamar. So I would rather, instead of say patchwork, I would really say that not just with the Ready Kid SA Coalition, which is a group of partners, two of which are here today, inclusive of the United Way, but others, there's a group of about 40 different individuals and partners that have come to the table to really understand how many children do we have in San Antonio. We do realize that in San Antonio, keeping a child at home those first years is actually really important for families. Maybe not all families, but for some families. And so how do we support those families so that those children that are at home in the care of loving adults get into kindergarten ready to learn first?
So you say keeping kids at home in those early years. So we basically, I mean, a lot of people, they feel the struggle of, I have to work. Right. And we had a baby and we love the baby, but I have to work. Right. And so we take the child to, the infant, to some sort of care facility during the daytime. And it's, I know it's hard on people to make that decision, but that's a decision a lot of people make. And you're saying what to that?
I'm saying that there are actually options. There's actually lots of different options. You heard pre-K for SA, but there are also really high quality childcare centers. There's a list of centers that are accredited either by the state of Texas or a national accreditation. And those centers are available sometimes on a sliding scale. Sometimes there's a subsidy for those centers. So depending on whether or not you can get into either a subsidy system and or a scholarship to provide access to those quality centers. So there are a variety of different ways to go about childcare.
I really would like to hear from listeners about how they're dealing with this, because mm-hmm. this is a problem that a lot of couples have, and it should be an easier way to deal with this. And it's a struggle. It really is. So let's get a caller on. Here's Sandra. And hey, Sandra, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello there, sir.
Thank you. Call in. You're on the air.
So I wanted to comment. I've been a parent for pre-K for SA since 2014. I absolutely love the program. I myself was at the very beginning in 2014, I was looking to see where I was going to send my son to school. And I found a wonderful program like this one. And I've been a part of you guys since then. And not only is it a great program for my children, it also has been a great program for parents as well. I've been a part of like parenting classes that they provide, the farmers market that they provide, the ATB Read programs that they provide, and then just all around children events that they've had, which are great opportunities to meet other parents and then meet other children, and so my children can meet other children. So it's the program all itself is wonderful, and since they've been able to provide those kinds of things for parents, I've also been inspired to do that myself. So they gave me the opportunity January of this year to start an exercise program. So I've been very successful to do that, and parents are getting great energy, having great success. So I've loved the opportunity that Pre-K for SA has given me, that not only are we making a difference for the children, we're making a difference for us, the parents. And so I love the program.
Sandra, what would you do if Pre-K for SA wasn't there?
My child would have probably gone to, my child would have not gone to Pre-K, because we fall under that gap that y'all were talking about, that I would have fell short and the child would have stayed home with me instead of going to a great school like Pre-K for SA.
Sandra, thank you for your call. I'm going to go straight to Sonia, another caller. Sonia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I was calling in today. I have two nieces, and I work with my sister to try to get her into pre-K for SA, but she made too much money. Within the same breath, she's barely scraping by paying household items, vehicles. The school completely shut her down. They wouldn't kind of help her in any way. They wouldn't guide her in any way. We tried looking around for other schools. I would love to have a school like Lamar on the South Side. Unfortunately, I don't even know if there's one. Going onto websites and that kind of stuff, it is very hard to navigate these things. You know, I hear nothing on anywhere, social media, TV, about these programs, except for pre-K for SA. But even then, we're getting shut down and not guided to where we need to get our youth to. So they're staying at home with grandma and grandpa. And yes, it's amazing to be home with grandma and grandpa. But grandma and grandpa are Spanish speakers. And there's a gap there as well. So they're going to be going into school already in a gap. They're not going to be, you know, at that level that other kids are going to be at when they do enter school.
Sonia, thank you for that reality check. That was really important. And so Sarah Beret, CEO, Pre-K for SA, what do you say?
Well, I think Sonia has identified a real need, and that is that even though Pre-K for SA provides additional spaces that wouldn't otherwise be there for families, there still are additional families that need support in finding affordable, high-quality Pre-K. So one of the things we know is that the state provides half-day Pre-K for families that are eligible. But as this caller said, she's not eligible because she falls just outside of that income level or one of the other criteria. And so Pre-K for SA begins to address that by allowing families to apply for sliding scale tuition. But of course, those spots, there are far more families that need those than we have available. So that's one of the things that we're continuing to work on with our partners with our $4.2 million in grants is how do we create more affordable, high quality Pre-K in some of the other existing programs out there. Education is a state responsibility, but we know that the state, for lots of reasons, is not able to step up and provide full-day pre-K for everybody that needs it.
Politics is a big part of it.
Sure,
money
sure,
and politics.
Sure, and surprisingly, though, Texas is a little ahead of some states. Some states don't even provide full-day kindergarten yet. So, Texas at least is doing half-day pre-K, but nonetheless, we know that the resources are not going to come from the state. They're not going to come from the feds. And so San Antonio has really stepped up as a community to say, we're going to do something. And we're going to continue to work to find more seats and create more seats for students.
But Sonia's frustration was about how, you know, they ran into a brick wall at Pre-K for SA, and those are the realities.
Yep.
You can only do so much with what you have. But then they were like, okay, you're on your own. And go online, try and find solutions. It's complicated. And so is there a consumer-driven sort of solution that will be like, I will help you. I will be your navigator. I can help you figure this all out. And so, Henry Munoz, you look like you can answer this. So where do they go?
Yeah, I would definitely point that individual to two different places. One, at our United Way, we have a call center here locally in San Antonio. It's 211. So callers can dial 211 on their phones and then talk to the person on the other line about their situation. And sometimes what happens with whatever the situation that the caller is in, the counselor on the other side of the line can provide information on where to go within their zip code. So they have access to a really large database, inclusive of childcare centers and or other options to help with the cost of childcare.
So be ready to answer questions about income, where
mm-hmm.
you live,
mm-hmm.
Special needs.
Special needs, yes. Yeah, there's over 5,000 nonprofits in San Antonio that provide all kinds of special type of education and or services to individuals who have a high needs child or need of respite in case the parent is at home taking care of the child themselves. But in addition to that, there are other options, right? So there are formal child care centers, there are child care centers, there's early Head Start and Head Start. So as long as the caller who is calling 211 at the United Way can describe their situation, where they live, then that the person on the other line can help them navigate the system. We also have a website called Ready Kid SA, and this particular website's readykidsa.com. A parent can actually get on the World Wide Web and the internet and access that website for additional services. Pre-K for SA is listed on there as well as the Head Starts and Early Head Starts.
Take another break. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. What problems have you run into trying to get quality early education for your child? Source continues. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Today's topic, early childhood education in San Antonio, a great need. We have organizations that are providing solutions, but it is difficult to find a solution that fits your need. A lot of parents are trying to figure out, how do I help my child learn to read, be ready for that first grade, totally, ready to go. and so that they can have a life of a high earning, because when you graduate from high school, you graduate from college, you're gonna do well in life, but we got to help them from day one. So the number, how do we deal with that? The number is 210-614-8980. With me is Sarah Beret. She's the CEO of Pre-K for SA. And y'all are still in enrollment right now, right?
We are. We opened up enrollment for the upcoming school year on February 1st. And on the first day, we had 1,300 applications. So you can see the need is great. We are continuing to enroll for, particularly at our South and our East centers, where we still have openings. And so we'll continue to enroll throughout the springs to make sure that all 2,000 of our seats are filled. And once we are full, we begin to refer out to other programs, including our school district partners, as well as some of the other ones that Henry mentioned, because it's important to help parents get connected to high-quality education for their four-year-old.
So there are 2,000 spots available, and it's a first-come, first-serve type of, but you have to meet these qualifications.
You do. So it's first come, first serve. And so you either can meet one of the qualifications that the state sets out, which is income, language, military status, homelessness, etc. But also we have 20% of our spots reserved for families that don't meet one of those criteria, and they can pay a sliding scale tuition. And that's to address the need, as one of your callers identified, that we have families that fall just outside of those eligibility standards for the state, but still have a great need and can't afford high quality private pre-K. So we have a very affordable rate for them so that they can enroll their child.
And let's go to the callers. Monique. And hi, Monique. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My child, okay, so she is not quite of an age to qualify for pre-K. She's not yet two. But my comment was, for those, you mentioned the mothers that have to go back to work. Well, there is, in my opinion, there is a gap between those that make enough that they could afford child care. And in my case, I would not be able to afford child care. If I put my child in child care, we would be more in debt, more in the hole, because my salary would not even cover that. And it's just a situation where people think, yes, oh, you're so lucky you get to stay at home. No, actually, I can't afford the $10,000 a year in child care that an average daycare would charge. And so I just wanted to bring that to light, that there are people in my situation, too, that we have to stay at home, because the cost of child care on average for each child, about $200 a week, $800 a month. So, again, over 10 grand a year. It's just not in our budget.
And are you looking forward, Monique, to when your child reaches an age where they can go to a quality facility and then you can reenter the workforce? Or what's your plan?
Yes, that would be very nice. I actually had looked into Head Start and Pre-K for SA and had researched the sliding scale. It can get a bit complicated. I had looked into the early Head Start, and that was also a bit complicated, as you know, some of the locations had changed names over the years when we did research, and so it doesn't seem like a very easy system to navigate.
Right, exactly. Well, Monique, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I'm going to go to another caller because we get a lot of calls. This is Jacqueline. Hi, Jacqueline. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Hi. I was calling because my kid is special needs, and I applied to Pre-K 4SA. I got placed on the waiting list. I put the east side as a secondary since I work at Fort Sam Houston, still got placed on the waiting list. And when I went to my district said there's only so many slots they can fill for special needs. So my kid falls right below that special needs line. He's right at the cusp of needing a little bit more, would really help, but they won't allow them into the pre-K program.
How recent was this?
So this is about a month. Well, the wait list for pre-K for SA was last week, and the Lock Hill, the school district, the Northside school district, was about a month ago.
All right, Jacqueline, thank you for the call. I'm getting a lot of puzzled looks from our panel here. So let me go to Henry Munoz. Henry with an I, with the United Way and Ready Kid SA Coalition. Response.
Yeah, we are slightly puzzled only because it is the district's responsibility to take on a child that is of age of 4 years old. If there is a Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong here with the state of Texas with the law, but it is my understanding that the law there's a mandate for school districts if they have a 4-year-old program for them to be able to take on that student. And they take mostly the 4-year-olds. There is options for 3-year-olds depending on their ISDs and their funding. But the 4-year-olds, if there's a 4-year-old program, they should be able to take that student on, whether or not they have a special need or not. Would you affirm that for me?
If they qualify, if they meet one of the 12 indicators from the state. But a child with special needs also should be able to get services from the school district. And so that's a little bit puzzling too. And so
I'm not saying it happened in this case, but we know that it has happened in other cases around the state that sometimes people show up at their ISDs with a child with special needs and they get a little bit of pushback and parents who don't know their rights sometimes turn around and walk out. It's important that parents know their rights. And so let me ask you about that, Ginger Walker. How do we make sure that parents are, they're up to speed on those things? I mean, what are their rights?
Well, and as Henry and Sarah both mentioned, that special education is the responsibility of the district. So there's been some.
So we don't have a certain number of slots for special ed.
That's correct, what you said. There's been some misinformation out there that the state is somehow disincentivizing the district to take on special ed students. And we want parents to know that that is not the case, that this district does have a responsibility to take on special ed students.
Okay, and what happens if you get that kind of static from some administrator and you say, oh, I thought I could, who do you turn to as an advocate for you to try and set things right? Henry Munoz, do you call 211 and say, this happened to me?
Yeah, you could certainly call 211, but what might be best is actually visiting on campus. There are parent liaisons, and those parent liaisons typically in a variety of ISDs here in San Antonio typically have the responsibility of working with the parent themselves. In some school districts, in some ISDs, we also have parent rooms that the United Way, in partnership with nonprofit organizations, help provide space for parents to learn about how to advocate for their child. So there's a little bit more investigation, right? So the parent comes to, in this case, the caller went to the school, waited for a spot wasn't provided. And so we are now asking for the parent to seek out either the parent liaison on campus, sometimes even the counselor on campuses, but also to see if there's a parent room. And they can check that out, whether or not your school has a parent room. You could call 211 for that as well.
Back to the phones, Amelia. And Amelia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir. My name is Amelia. I'm a former parent of pre-K for SA. My son attended last year. And, you know, we had a really positive experience. And it was kind of by fluke that he attended. It was the last day of enrollment of application that year, and he was selected via lottery. But as far as from start to finish, we had an excellent experience. A lot with community involvement, a lot of parent involvement, and basically the group, the Parents as Partners, is one of the groups that Pre-K for SA founded, established a lot of connections. You know, we were able to basically become a different type of family. You know, our kids had the connection and they know, they're able to come here and they feel safe and they know the teachers and they know the staff and they know the people here, you know, and all of our kids, although they're now all in kindergarten and all in different schools, are still friends. All of us are still friends. We were able to see how much they learned here, although every day you ask them, what did you learn? They said, we just played. They're at the top of their classes. You know, they're reading at levels that their teachers are recognizing. They're, you know, some of our kids are taking spelling tests up to 10 words a day, 10 words a week, and they're acing them. You know, and our kids are benefiting a lot from this program. And we see other kids in the classes who did not attend pre-K programs or who did not have any sort of previous schooling in a struggle. You know, they're behind in class. So it was really beneficial for us to be involved. I know I have several friends who, when they look for pre-K programs, Pre-K for SA is the first program that I recommend. Always will be and will continue to be.
Amelia, thank you for the call. A lottery, how does the lottery work over at with Pre-K for SA, Sarah?
Well, in our first few years, we used a lottery system to select the students. And 2 years ago, we went away from the lottery because what we realized was that parents were applying for the lottery in February, and then we weren't able to decide which students were getting in until April. And that's a long time for parents to be waiting to figure out what they're going to do with their four-year-old in August. And so we went to a first-come, first-serve system to allow parents to know right away whether they would have a spot at Pre-K for SA. And then if they don't, we help them, give them some resources to find another spot. And so when families apply, within 7 days, they receive a response of whether they have a spot at Pre-K for SA or if they're on the waiting list in case a spot opens up.
So we're hearing a lot of positive things about Pre-K for SA, but we know that there's an expiration date on the funding mechanism, the sales tax. That's 2020. City Council will have to look at whether or not to renew that. That's a decision that's going to be a tough decision. And so we'll find out, what do you think? Should Pre-K for SA get another extension? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Also, we'll talk about the difference between child care versus early childhood education and why you need to know the difference. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. It's a cliche, a old saw that the future is the children. Our children are the future. And how are we educating our future? We put investments in them, and hopefully that it's going to pay off, that they're able to perform when it comes time to show up for school, that on the first day of school. How is that working in San Antonio? We do have Pre-K for SA. It's a program that was first created in 2012 when San Antonio voters approved the 1/8 cent sales tax diversion to fund the program, but it doesn't reach all the children in San Antonio. We know that it has 2,000 slots that are available, but they reach about 5,000 overall. Still so many children in San Antonio looking for other options. What are you doing to help your child get early childhood education? The number is 210-614-8980. And Natasha is on the line. Natasha, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. So I was calling about a suggestion for those children that aren't getting into programs or whose families really want to keep them at home. When I lived in Utah, I lived in Provo, their library system had a resource room that was full of intentional play activities that families could check out and take home, and they taught you how to intentionally play to a point where my middle child, it's what we did until she reached the age for kindergarten, and she went in at the top of her class. She went in ready to learn and prepare. And it's something I've noticed we don't have access to here in San Antonio. Those things aren't available for families who need them because oftentimes the items are expensive.
Okay, Natasha, thank you for the call. And that kind of goes to an email that we received from a listener. And so I completely disagree that 3 to 4 year olds should be in institutional preschool. I am the mother of 7 children, all of them who have been highly successful in school, and preschool has not been part of our lives. Your program is suggesting that it is important to remove young, very young children from their homes 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. I can never agree. So we heard from the listener that there people who do decide to keep their children at home, there needs to be resources to help them maximize that time and help use that and turn home care into high quality education care. And we have a listener email that says that's what they did, and good on you. We're not everyone has that option, right? So, you know, Henry Munoz, can you react?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think that there's likely some gaps in the availability of resources that are out there, but I just wanted to highlight at least one, and that is KLRN's. So our public television station here in San Antonio is KLRN. You could find them at klrn.org, and they have a listing of opportunities for families who have chosen or have been forced to keep their child at home. You had at least one listener that said they just couldn't afford the private pay of childcare.
And they made the decision that
That's
so much money, I might as well stay home.
You might as well stay home, right. And so there are some resources available for families who wish to keep their child at home. The KLRN version, as well as Family Service Association and Avance, the Avance organization here in San Antonio, all three of those organizations offer items like Play and Learn, where the parent as well as the child can come to almost a Mother's Day Out type situation where the families are actually being taught how to provide early childhood experiences, quality childhood experiences with their child, how to read to a child, how to draw with a child, different things and milestones, developmental milestones for children. So I just wanted to highlight that there are some opportunities out there for families.
And there's local mommy blogs where they talk about things and socialize with kids. And so, but the difference between child care and early childhood education, and can you talk about that, Ginger Walker?
Well, we have seen the benefits and research from formalized education in the early years, but as Henry and our callers discussed as well, it's not available to everyone. And so those resources like that KLRN provides, but many of our partners as well, have recognized the barriers to accessing these kinds of developmental curriculum for parents to use at home. Like the caller said, intentional play to build these skills at home. There is a cost barrier to accessing those, and so many of our partners have gotten together to reduce the cost of that. For example, Ready Rosie is a parent program that KLRN, libraries, school districts, and other partners have gotten together to negotiate a cheaper rate so that it's free to their parents that work through those connections.
Okay, but we're still trying to figure out, we talk about early childhood education and why that's so important. And then there's a place that says, we're a child care center. And what can I distinguish between these two things and try to get the thing that I want? So Sarah Bray?
So a licensed child care center provides loving, safe care for a child while the parents are typically at work or at school for themselves. An early childhood education center is staffed by people with knowledge of early childhood development and the way that you support children's early learning and brain development. So the difference is really in the skill and expertise of the staff who are working.
So one place, they're going to have kids in a room, and you have someone there who's just making sure the kids don't kill themselves. And we have another place where we have trained educators who are going to provide interesting fun and mental stimulation to the children. Is that what we got?
Well, I would say that our child care providers actually do a great job, and many of them are doing things that are high quality and lead to early childhood outcomes, but they aren't necessarily guaranteed to be licensed in that way or trained, credentialed in that way. So really, when you go to an early childhood education center, you're guaranteed that the staff is knowledgeable and licensed and credentialed in order to provide that high quality early learning experience. But I don't want to say that child development centers aren't great places to be. Many of them are fantastic.
Sure, a lot of people are looking for places so they can put their children while they have to go work.
Yes.
And that's a reality. Let's go to another caller. This is Paul. Hey, Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I think you raised an interesting distinction between care and education. But I would submit that if you care for children, you're going to make sure that they're going to receive the best education possible. I don't have any children myself. I was a child once. But I understand that people who are less likely to drop out of school are less likely to become criminals, low-level crime like graffiti and so on and so forth. I want our society to have those advantages. I want people that are younger to come up and be able to solve some of the problems we have in society. I think that education is one thing that if I could go back in time, I would enrich my education. I have friends who know musical instruments, know how to play them well, and there's a quality to their life that I kind of miss, and it's hard to pick up at my age.
All right, Paul, thank you for that. So we know that pre-K for SA, that is the goal, is to provide these children positive, powerful early education and get them ready for the world. And so it's been a few years now. 2013 is when you started, right?
Right, well, that's when we opened, yes.
So what about that first year of kids? Have they already trying to solve the world's problems?
Well, they were doing that even when they were at pre-K. So, yes.
So how old are they now?
They are in third grade, and that was a group of about 750 children.
Okay, and we're tracking them?
We are tracking them. We're working with our school district partners to see how they're doing, and they are in third grade this year, so that means they'll be taking the STAR test.
So are we able to, I know that Councilman Clayton Perry, he was talking about the need to track this, and Greg Brockhaus, District 6, both say that they wanted to see results from children after they had left the program, and they're going to be looking at STAR results in the 2017-2018 school year. But are they just going to be looking at STAR results overall, or are they targeted for those children individually? How does that work?
Well, we really have to look overall and whether we're moving the needle on third grade reading, because, as I said, Pre-K for SA has our four outstanding centers, and we know the children leave us well above the national norm because we have an external evaluation. But we also provide high-quality professional learning, plus the grants to improve quality all the way from pre-K through third. So Pre-K for SA is really a comprehensive initiative to move the needle across the city. So we'll be looking at pre-K for SA third graders this year, but also their peers in all of the different schools, because it really is about an overall emphasis on what's happening in the city.
Well, I'm looking at the SA 2020 report, the impact report, and it shows that improving third grade reading is moving in the opposite direction. It's actually getting worse in San Antonio. And so can you kind of explain what that statistic means, saying to you, Ginger Walker?
Sure. And third grade reading is something that we track on the P16 Plus website. Your viewers can go to p16plus.org to look at third grade reading for any district in the county. But what's complicated about third grade reading, and what we've tried to, we've kind of taken a different approach to measuring, is that the standards change each year with the accountability standards. So lately, the standards have been increasing, higher standards for third grade reading. And so you'll see a drop in some of the data because of that. So to look at trends over time, we've actually been looking at the percent of third graders who are meeting grade level, which is a little bit higher standard than the accountability standard. And it's associated, if they maintain that through high school, with a 60% likelihood of being college ready. But that is a little bit higher standard than what we're looking at in SA 2020. And it has been increasing over the last, well, since.
So you're seeing encouraging results.
That's right. You know, it is not as high as we want it to be, but it went from 35% in 2012.
So preliminary results are looking good.
That's
and
right.
That we should continue, according to your view, keep up what we're doing right now and widen the availability of resources to children across the city of San Antonio, and being able to figure out how to get the right people to the right programs.
It's why P16 was an early supporter of Pre-K for SA. It's really an important area to invest in for our city, not just at the centers, but the broader interventions they
Ginger
provide.
Ginger Walker was P16 Plus Counselor for Greater Bexar County, had Sarah Beret with Pre-K for SA. Henry Munoz is with the United Way and Ready Kid SA Coalition. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in.